together. Did you just fucking straight troll me in the fucking intro music?
Yes, I did. Welcome to the Interracial Drama Podcast. I'm your host, Leslie Mack, and I'm joined, as always...
Very wet guy.
And he's very wet indeed. If this is your first time joining us, you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John, that's J-A-W-N, or go to our website, interracialjohn.com. Of course, we are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr, again, at Interracial John, that's J-A-W-N. We also love feedback. We have some feedback we're going to read later, but you can leave us a five-star review on either iTunes or
Five-star
review on either iTunes or Stitcher, and we will read it on the air. Shout out to the Black Guy Who Tips and Karen, Rod and Karen. And you can email us, interracialjohn@gmail.com, and you can leave us a voicemail at 657-JOHNERS. That's 657-JAWNERS. If it's under 3 minutes and it's not crazy, we will play it on the air.
Yeah, I like the people are calling in. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
You'd think that like email and five-star reviews would be easier, but phone call.
People are on their phones a lot. I feel like
all right.
Like you have to think about it or whatever.
I've called Rod and Karen more than I've left feedback on their website or the shows.
I don't think you've left them any feedback.
I have. I've left feedback more than once.
Oh, have?
Yeah, but I've called a few times. It's easier to call.
We just call this weekend.
So. I know. Mm-hmm. I like calling.
Calling's fun.
Call away.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I feel like calling in there is like what made us think we wanted to do a podcast, so... You know,
yeah, maybe probably had something to do with it.
Because theirs is live. So
yeah, and we called in a bunch before we even started our own podcast.
Yeah, we're their official interracial couple of the Black Guy Who Tips. So
official.
Lest we
official,
forget that.
Official.
It is official.
It's official.
Literally.
I know, but like Clove and Shirley were on their show like multiple times.
But they didn't call that. That's the rules.
That's the rules? That's the
I didn't the Black set Guy, them. The Black that's Guy Rod and Karen's rules. I didn't set them up.
Is it like... claim it like in second
yes,
grade
yes you claim it and when I asked about it, he's like
shotgun you shotgunned interracial
he specifically was like nobody's claimed that yet you, it's yours just
you,
like that
you shotgunned interracial couple of the,
sure did
the Black Guy Who Tips
yep
all right bet
yep so we took a week off so thanks all of you guys hopefully all 12 of you didn't miss us too bad
it's dozens there's a zzz.
Okay
22 at least 22
we went to New Jersey for my mom's 70th birthday shout out to you happy birthday mom
let's get a big ding for that
and we had a big old Caribbean white party
that shit was awesome like
we
for
had
real
a great time amazing DJ the food was awesome shout out to Roy Waterman from Feed for Change. You can find him at feedforchange.org.
Yeah. I'm really hard on Unitarian Universalist in general, but you Society of Ridgeway, good facility. They let us run it. We brought in beer. Yeah, it was good. Good looking
beer and wine and good food and we had a great DJ. Everybody wore white except for my mom who was flossing in blue.
We had one strap. It was like off the shoulder.
It was sexy.
She had a, that's what she said. She goes, it was her sexy. At first she goes, it's too sexy. I said, Mom, it's not too sexy. And if y'all saw, I posted a Vine of her doing the wobble. Come on.
No, she wasn't doing the wobble. She was doing the dollar wine.
Oh, the dollar. Oh, you're right. That was the dollar wine. But still, she got down low.
She did. She gets down with the get down.
She had her hand behind her back like,
We have to put that up maybe.
It's good.
So that was really fun. And then we hightailed it north. From there, we stopped off in the town that I went to high school in, Troy, New York, to visit some friends there and had some great pizza. And then...
What's up, Mom?
We went up to our first trip ever to French Canada.
Canada.
To Montreal.
You know, so I just saw a friend and she was like, oh, are they all, you know, like assholes? Like the assumptive about French, you know, people are that like they're jerks and shit.
I didn't think they were jerks.
I didn't, but I said of the Canadian.
They were very French though.
Here's the thing. It's like squares and rectangles. Like not all squares are rectangles, but all, no, not all rectangles are squares, but all squares are rectangles.
Right.
Not all French people are assholes. Not all French Canadians are assholes, but all the assholes I met were French.
Good point.
I don't know if that's like, it just put that little data
it's
set
so
anecdotally.
Facto.
I'm not prepared to say that, you know, they're all, but for what it's worth, all the you know, there weren't many, but the few douchey people we interacted with, we're French Canadian.
Yeah. Well, we were in French Canada, so I don't really know if that's by definition, everybody we interacted with were French Canadian. Just you mean they were like, you know, only speaking French type people.
Well, and just there was other douchey incidents we wanted to get into.
Yeah, but, we didn't get into them. But so anyway,
let's talk about Montreal. We haven't even talked about this at all. Like, not just Montreal, but like Quebec itself.
Yeah.
Felt like a different country, different from Canada.
It did,
like, and Canada felt like Northern America.
Yeah, like when we drove back to Michigan, we went a different way. We went mostly through Canada, so we drove and from Quebec into Ontario, and it was like, I kid you not, it was like a demarcation. It was like inside the dome, and we like crossed through the dome, and we were on the other side of it, and it was like
the parts of
the color is different over here.
The parts of Toronto and other parts of Canada we went through looked as much like the rest of the United States and just generally North America. There was nothing, you know, it had like Home Depot, Best Buy, Michaels.
And it seemed
Chick-fil-A.
Like the expectation, like you saw a lot of 24-hour stuff.
Yeah. Everything was decidedly, I would just say, North American. And it felt congruent with North America.
Yeah. Quebec? Well, it felt congruent with the United States. I don't know. I guess it's congruent with Mexico.
Fair enough. Oh, yeah. I said it was like North America, but like, Canada felt like Upper America.
It did. It felt like Northern USA.
Yeah, Upper America. Whereas Quebec felt like totally different.
Yeah, we literally, the city it reminded us most of was Buenos Aires. And so that was really weird. And we stayed in this really amazing Airbnb in the French sector. We didn't know that at the
time.
Shout out,
Josie.
But it was
really... Her fucking unit was pimping.
Yeah,
dude.
The apartment was beautiful. And
But how like French was the apartment?
It was so French. It had like pictures of like Audrey Hepburn on the walls. That's how French it was. And so we stayed there. We really were trying to relax most of the time. So we did that. We got to see Clove and Shirley from the Chonilla podcast.
You're talking about relaxed. I think the first day we slept for 14 hours.
Yeah, we just slept. But we've just been going with me going to Cleveland and the move and the this and the that. It was just a lot. So we just wanted some time to like unplug. So that was awesome. We got to see Clove and Shirley like three times while we were there. And it was great. They came over and we got takeout. We went out one night and then we got to spend an entire afternoon with them and their kids at their house and thank them so much for being
so welcoming, hospitable, terrific.
And so great because, you know, we kind of just were like, hey, remember that one time you said come to Montreal?
I literally was like, hey, I think we're going to be in Montreal. What are you guys doing this week? Like, I almost, it was like the third grade equivalent of like inviting yourself over
to dinner. Yeah, I was like, remember one time you mentioned halfway under your breath, if you're ever in Montreal, give us a ring.
I got to say, they're very sporting because like, you know, like we know them kind of. Like we listen to the show, listen to our show.
We talk to them outside the show.
We've had multiple, you know, long conversations, you know, using Skype or whatever. So I think we had a pretty good sense and we're pretty open and we're pretty good judges of people. But like, you never know. Like we could have been total like,
We could have been total assholes. Maybe we were.
Maybe we would.
Let us know.
We'll know next time if we don't get invited back. Hey, we're going to come to Montreal. Like, oh, shoot. We're going to be,
we're out that
we're not
year.
Especially after me, right?
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's take things one step at a time. So
literally,
one of the cool things that we discovered is something called a beaver tail, which is a
Cuse de Castro.
Yeah, Cuse de Castro.
Castor? I'm not going to even try the accent.
Well, whatever.
Cuse de Castro.
Beaver tails. This says it on the paper too, because they have to have the English also. And it's basically this amazing like fried dough dessert that they slather and all sorts of stuff.
What'd you say? It was like a Canadian elephant ear.
Yes, but not because the elephant ear is like flaky.
And it's harder. This is
like a pastry.
Fried less.
Yeah.
But it's fried shorter.
Yeah, it's so good.
And the dough is even
almost like funnel cake, but
it
not.
It's like a combination funnel cake and churro.
Yeah.
And then fried for less.
Yeah, and then they put cinnamon.
It's like a chalupa.
I never had a little chalupa, so I don't know. And then you could get apples and cinnamon on it. You could get, what did you get? Chocolate
and something? It came with maple like glaze
frosting
and chocolate.
And chocolate. Yeah.
Which I mean, they had probably dribbled down my chest.
It was so good. So we went there and had those. And one thing that was a little odd is that pretty much it looks like they're rebuilding Montreal from the like depths of the earth up.
So Clove said day one, I asked him about that. I was like, man, there's like a lot of construction. He's like, oh, it's a fucking disaster. There's like, I guess there was multiple issues at play that have all plagued the city that include like rampant corruption, organized crime's influence on the construction industry, like cronyism. Like he literally said that one of the domes or something was the theory was that the cement was crumbling because there were so many bodies in there. There were like pockets of non-concrete decomposing because like the mob was like disposing of bodies in Montreal's concrete. So yeah, all this like, you know, corruption and organized labor crime and all kinds of stuff going on. But I've, without a doubt, I've never seen more construction in a city in my entire life. Everything was under construction. Everything. It was bonkers.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And so that was weird. And then what was the other thing I was going to say?
And it wasn't just construction, like here in the United States.
No, it was literally, it was like...
No, like here, if there's a big road, like a giant highway in the United States, the company that gets the contract has to like account for impact on commuters and travel and people. And like, we'll fucking like complain and sue and like, I don't know what they can or can't do in Canada, but the roads that were being used, they were so big that were shut down and they were just shut down for like... infinity, you know, like there was, it wasn't like, like here we work 24 hours 7 days a night sometimes to get shit done, and we've got like only close the lanes down at night and then they reopen them. It wasn't like that at all. It's like, oh no, let's just close it down and let's go on holiday for a week and we'll come back to it and, you know, we'll tear some shit up.
I can't vouch for that. People were actually working, but I'll say that it looked like, you know, those pictures like from back in the day, and they'd be like, oh, this is when they were first building the LA freeway. And right. They have like people standing around and like huge excavations on the side. And like, that's what it looked like. It looked like if I took a picture and I put it in black and white, you'd be like, oh, is that from 1942?
Yeah,
like,
you really would.
Literally would have no clue that anything modern was taking place.
Shirley said it very accurate, I think, is that there isn't any concern with the inconvenience to traffic and flow and patterns. Like, that just, that's,
it's
not
irrelevant.
On the table. It's irrelevant.
It's socialist.
That's not
that
even
is.
On the table.
Everybody gets to bear the brunt of this inconvenience equally, people. It's socialism. So we did see a little evidence of some racism while
we were
there.
You know, there's a couple of, I'm not going to name names, I'm not going to call any tweeps out, but there's been a couple of friend of mine from Canada. They're like, well, you know, we don't really have that. And to Canada's credit, they don't have specifically like 1,000 people being killed by cops every year. Yeah. Like that, admittedly their police brutality is not on the level that we are,
right.
But they still have systemic racism. They
right.
still have problems.
Cause I feel like a lot of times, and this might be just because of the way the news is and the bleeds it leads and all of that. And certainly the police brutality issue is one that reaches a lot of different areas and also is just the most, you know, egregious of all
the
things that we fight against. But people might think that that's all that is being discussed in terms of the movement for Black Lives, which it really isn't, because racism is so much deeper than that. It's so much more insidious than just this one issue of police brutality. So sometimes when I hear foreigners say stuff like, oh, our police don't even have guns, it's like, great, but your schools are still teaching that white is good and black is bad, but you still have underrepresentation of black people when compared to your population in almost every upper echelon of your society. Like, let's not try and trade, you know, atrocities against black people.
Or you still dress up
all
like,
of you are fucked up.
Yeah, you still dress up like Black Pete.
Yeah,
the Dutch Netherlands, right? Isn't that
you
the Netherlands?
Still write in the Netherlands a piece about Ta-Nehisi Coates' new book and use the N-word in the title of
in the
piece.
Lead. Yeah,
so let's take it down a notch, all y'all, about who hates black people the most. You all hate us and you're all fucked up, and that's okay. But when we were in French Canada in Montreal, there was signs of their elections are coming up, I think, at some point. I chuckled because neither Clove or Shirley know when that was.
Yeah, they didn't.
Gave me a weird sense of like it's a fluid thing, apparently, in Canada.
Well, there was an interesting, you know, I wasn't necessarily up to speed on Canadian parliamentary like processes and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a little bit. And I
know a lot of that because Jamaica has the same.
Same, right.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one's better or worse, but so they've got the same party. I guess, I don't know if it's Labor or Liberals, whatever, has been in control for 20 years. So, and the party elects the prime minister. So they've had the same prime minister for 20 years, for two decades. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I barely like you for that long.
Hey, now.
You're not running a country.
Well, so
anyways, so there are these signs up, and we had seen a bunch of them up. So it has like a person's face. They're very similar. It seems like there's some sort of format that people
It did.
Use.
It was a headshot.
So it was a set layout, I guess I should say.
Correct. A headshot, and then their name, and then the party. Very simple.
That's it. And so somebody had, there was a clearly
a Muslim candidate.
A Muslim candidate that was up, and somebody had spray painted over one of the posters, "Vote Blanc," vote white.
Which, you know, no one ever gives racists, like, you know, they don't need credit for being stupid, but no. Like, as stupid as they are, like, Muslim vote white's kind of like, Muslim's not a, that's not a race, Muslim. Like, that's sort of like, yeah, that's bizarre.
You can be white and Muslim, so I don't, yeah. I guess maybe it was her, I don't know. Well, whatever it was racist.
But it was, yeah, it was right there.
And it was right in our face.
On our block.
And we saw it.
Vote white.
And so I got your number, Canada. Just kidding. I didn't have any issues there, so I'll say that.
No, and I thought Canada was terrific in many other ways. And heck, the dollar to Canadian exchange is terrific.
They got the beaver tails. We had an amazing steak.
Yeah.
So good. But then we come to the interesting part of the...
Why is that interesting? Is that interesting?
Well, depends on who you ask. So, a very white guy has this thing where he always has to push things to, like, if they say you can't go past this point at a park or a ride or anything, really. It's like, well, I'm going to go just past that. It's going to be fine.
I'll admit I have a lifetime of... being a little extra.
This is like this white people thing where you all think you can conquer everything.
It's not about colonialism.
It is.
Me going extra is not.
Yeah, because
it is not.
Black
me
people,
at the water park going fucking
cautious,
stupid is not about.
We're cautious by nature. We have to be. Y'all think nothing can hurt you.
I'll admit that.
It's always
I'll
some
admit,
white dude's like, I'm going to climb this mountain that no
I
one's
gonna
supposed
say,
to
I'll
ever climb.
I'll admit that white people be doing extreme shit.
Y'all
because,
crazy.
Because our life isn't extreme normally.
Exactly.
I agree with you on that.
Jumping off of things, out of things.
Base jumping
why?
Shit.
Why?
Wingsuits.
Why do you need that? It's ridiculous. Anyways.
Jumping from hot air balloons.
So we were having a lovely afternoon at Cloven Cholet's lovely house, which is right along the St. Lawrence River. And so we had eaten.
Yeah, that's a really pimped area.
Beautiful
area. I was like, and it was so cooler there.
Oh,
it was like,
so nice.
Like 10 degrees cooler than
beautiful.
By where we were.
And we got to meet their awesome kids. Shout out to them. Ronan, what's up? And Lita, hey.
What up, Tia?
Tia. Just kidding. I love Tia. She was cracking me up so bad. Anyways, they have the greatest kids, and they're so wonderful. And Ronan was so kind. He
we got to,
we
also got to see where the
well.
Magic...
Yes, we got to see the
studio.
Which is really awesome.
I'm a little... I'm not
You're
saying,
jealous.
I'm not jealous. Yeah. Their desk setup, I really... Because it kind of sucks not being able to see you. Like, I can't look at you and like react to you. Like,
well, maybe
in
the
nice.
New house we'll kind of rearrange things a bit.
Yeah,
see if we can put it.
And I'm not surprised, but I love that he did the sound dampening. I think we'll have to
dampening.
Do the same. Yeah.
Oh, downstairs. Yeah, because
it's brick.
Will.
It's too.
Yeah,
it's too bouncy.
Right. Well, we'll see. I don't know about that. We'll see. And so, anyways, we decided we were going to take a really quick, like 5-minute ride to this little peninsula right along the river that you can walk out to. It's kind of like a little park. So we go out there right at sunset. We're having a great time, taking pictures, doing this, doing that. Drew's already pushing it. Always got to walk. And he went in, put his feet in the water at one point earlier. And then we go right to the edge of the peninsula. And there's a big sign and it's yellow and it says, don't go past here. You can drown, pretty much.
It didn't say drown.
It did say drown.
First of all, it didn't say anything because it's all
it
fucking pictograms.
Say, no,
it's
it
like
had words on
shit.
It because I even asked Clove and he said, yeah, it's a don't go past here because you can drown. The verb to
okay,
drown.
Okay, all right, okay.
You wouldn't know because you didn't look at it. You
I sure didn't. I sure did.
Barreled right past it.
Sure
no
didn't.
Sooner have we arrived at the edge that Drew, I hear Drew scream for me to hand to take his phone. And I go over.
It wasn't
like,
a scream. I said, Leslie, come get my phone. And you go, why? I said, because I fell in the river. It's wet.
So Drew fell into the river, slipped and fell face first into a river that you can drown in and cut up the bottom of his foot. In the process on
I still,
bottom
honestly,
of said river.
I said this to you, and I really, this is like when I was like at another age, I had like something would happen. Like, okay, I'm 30, I'm no longer 20. I can't do like 20-year-old
right.
things. And I'm not saying that this was like, I can't do this or that. I don't know what, but I got like shit whipped. I was like, I was standing 1 second and I turned to tell you to go up the thing and it was just like, fa-bam. I fell so fast and so hard that my arms didn't even go out to like stop me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
like when you have like some sort of like falling motion, you like put your hands out like, oh, I'm trying to fall down. And like you scrape up your like hands and elbows. Now went like just like, wow, it's straight down. And it really, I wasn't bothered at all. I was like, wow, like, okay, that was a bummer. But I did. I cut the fuck out of the bottom of my foot. And
so
like,
bad.
How do I cut the bottom of my foot Like, I don't even know how I did that in the vault.
Who knows what was under there?
But, I mean, under there, like, if I fell, like, where'd my foot get cut?
Your foot probably, like, when you tried to step. I mean, there could be glass bottles in there. It's just a river.
Like I said, I wasn't even in the water. I was standing down on the last step. And
well, you were soaked and you're bleeding profusely from your foot. And
but fortunately in Canada, that's a good place to be injured.
I guess.
If you're going to get hurt, Canada's okay.
I guess so.
I wouldn't have paid through the nose.
Well, you didn't have to. We're home. And you're
but you say you didn't have to. Like, I literally like at Clove's and Shirley's house in their bathroom, sitting on the fucking tub, like irrigating a giant gash on the bottom of my foot with a turkey baster. Literally, like, the fuck.
Don't have turkey at Clove and Shirley's house.
It was the fucking, like, when I say, like, I felt like it was, like, I'm a certain age moment, like, if I was 60, I would have broke a hip. Yeah. I mean, I was just, like, and I'm tall. I'm, like, 6'4". And I've cut, like, the bottom of my foot, my knee, my shoulder, like, my whole right side. I went down like a sack of flour.
Well, hopefully you'll live.
I'm okay.
So we can continue to do
that. I haven't had to amputate the foot. I could do it footless, though. Not yet.
I'll cut it out.
It's my dominant foot. I kick things with that foot.
You do. Not me, but things.
I said things.
Yeah.
I kick balls.
Well, we have a voicemail, so why don't we listen to that? Here we go.
Hi, Leslie and Drew. This is Hiroja Shab again. And I just had another question for y'all since you're living in the great, great white Midwest. Have you had the opportunity to kind of see your town and visit the locals and see how much they enjoyed their lager? I mean, have you guys found a nice restaurant or spot that you think is a great place to settle up and hang out? Because winter is coming, and it's best to pick a spot that you know you can associate with people for the long duration of winter when you're, you know, boxed in with all the snow on the ground, you can't move around, and you pick the wrong spot, you might be surrounded for months on end by annoying people you might not want to associate. And it's not easy because, you know, Midwesterns take their I don't know what you want to call it, their local bar thing very seriously. I mean, you got to get in with the crowd early on. You're going to make friends because, you know, they can close in ranks. They might not want to, you know, hang out with you or anything. And the other thing is with the lagers and stuff, have you checked out their local lagers, seen which ones are good ones to drink? Because they really like to drink out there. Just didn't know if y'all knew that. But anyways, have a great show and have a good time. Bye.
I got this.
Yeah, but I'll just say the first thing is that one of the reasons that brought us here to Grand Rapids specifically is that we do have a very great core of friends that live here already that we knew from before. My best friend since I was 13, so like 25 plus years, and your best friend as well from college, and we have a bunch of other friends as well, and one of my college roommates, her family lives here, so she's here all the time. Shout out to you. And so yeah, we're not for want of, and because of that, we know lots of other people here as well that we've gotten to be friends with over the years. So we have a good, I think, a solid core of people to go out with. Now I'll let Very White Guy handle the
beer city beer part of Grand Rapids was named Beer City, USA, number one city in the country for beer. Founders Brewing is probably one of the top five breweries. In fact, RateBeer.com rated it the third best brewery in the world. In the world, people, Founders, right here, Grand Rapids. Hopcat was rated the number one brew pub in the nation by RateBeer.com as well, as past several years going on. Brewery Vivant, we've got so many places for beer, so many. A buddy of mine actually brews, he's a home brewer, and like sometimes like you think like, oh, home brew, this, that. His fucking beer, I'm not bullshitting, I'm not trying to like pump it up, he doesn't sell it, we just drink it. I could put it side by side with so many beers, you would never know it was a homebrew. Like, this is a craft brewery from a professional. In fact, friends of mine, when he has a milk stout, it's his best beer, he's been doing it for probably a decade now, and he's got the recipe down pat, it's phenomenal. He's got a kegerator, he does like 10 gallons at a time. He'll do this milk stout over like 5 or 7 pounds of Michigan cherries in the fall, so it's a cherry milk stout. Fucking unbelievable. I mean, literally, like, friends of mine are like, can I get a growler of that? You got that? Is that friend of yours got that cherry milk stout again. When's he brewing that? So we just brewed 20 gallons of a imitation beer that's just up the road, about an hour and a half in Kalamazoo, called Bell's Brewery. That was my foray into the craft brewing dark arts when I was in college. Bell's Brewery in Kalamazoo was quite popular, so I used to attend fest and get beer there going back 20 years ago. But they make a beer called Two Hearted Ale, which is phenomenal. And we made an imitation Two Hearted Ale. We're going to call it Drew Hearted Ale, which just got kegged. I have to call him a man, because it's probably what's the word I'm thinking here? When you put it in the keg and you put the air pressure in it, the CO2, you're trying to get it
carbonated.
It's probably carbonated by now, and we can bottle it. I'll have to check that out. And then last but not least, we're new. Founders has the Mug Club. I don't have my mug yet. I will be camping out to get my mug probably sometime in December. I think they do it December like 3rd or 4th. But I will be in line to get my Mug Club. It'll happen.
I won't be.
You don't drink beer.
I hate beer.
That's all for me. That's why I said I got this.
I know. I was telling the other part of it.
No, it's the place for beer, and I love it.
Yes.
Shall we?
Yeah. Well, thanks for the.
Oh, I pre-jumped it. Thank you
for the message. We appreciate it. And again, if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can call 657 John or 657 JAWNER.
I'm wondering. That's two in a row. The first one was about cheese curds, and this one's about beer.
Yeah. Huh. What are you wondering?
It's a little bit of a setup. These are T-balls.
Not T-balls. That's what people want to hear. They have questions.
I'm just saying, like, you couldn't ask two better questions of me.
Well,
I'm an expert on. If I know two.
You are very, very white.
Next, she's going to ask me about deviled eggs.
Mayonnaise.
Did you see the thing that was the different types of white people, and it was all the different mayos?
All the different mayos. It was great.
Freaking hilarious.
Too funny.
All right,
here we go.
The news is coming on. The news is coming on.
So we lost a great one this past week, which was really sad to hear. Julian Bond, longtime NAACP leader and civil rights advocate, dies at age 75. You know, he was a pioneer in the civil rights movement. He's from Nashville, Tennessee, served as board chairman of the NAACP for 10 years, declining to run again in 2010. He was a student at Morehouse College when he served as one of the founders of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, and was its communications director. He was on the front line of protests that led to the nation's landmark civil rights laws. SPLC co-founder Morris D says, with Julian's passing, the country has lost one of its most passionate and eloquent voices for the cause of justice. He advocated not just for African Americans, but for every group, indeed every person subject to oppression and discrimination, because he recognized the common humanity in us all. I mean, this is a man who literally didn't go to Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral because it was at an anti-gay church. Like, that's the level of commitment he had to equality. Just amazing person, and obviously really sad, but great to see everyone sharing stories about him. And even in his youth, his parents were, his father was actually the first president of Lincoln University, which was the first HBCU in the country. It's in Oxnard, Pennsylvania. And funnily enough, I got to stay at Lincoln University when we were on the March to Justice. So it's really a long history of commitment to justice and to Black people, generally speaking, in his family. And he also served in the Georgia legislature. When he was voted, they wouldn't seat him. He had to go to court to actually take his seat. And so really sad to have lost him. Now, of course, for fuck's sake, God forbid.
Yeah, you can't have a moment of reverence for your leaders. You got to smear it up somehow.
You know, we can't just have what I just talked about, which is all the wonderful things about Julian Bond. But no, the New York Times saw fit to include this wonderful gem in their obit of Julian Bond, as I said, who just passed away. Julian Bond's great-grandmother, Jane Bond, was the slave mistress of a Kentucky farmer.
You got so furious. You were in the car. We were driving, and you were in the car, and it was like, I don't even know if we didn't talk about this. I knew something was going on. Like, I can tell. Like, I know, like, enough to know this or that. And after a little while, like maybe like 5 hours, I was like, hey, can we, you know, engage a little bit differently? Because you were just on your phone, just furious.
I'm so mad. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, are you really, is this real life? Is this honestly happening? I just was incensed. So I took to Twitter and I also posted on Facebook just my personal thoughts on the situation. But it just is like...
And just so we're fucking clear, right? Slave and the word mistress.
No.
They it's like fucking oil and water. They can't be together. You cannot be a mistress if you're enslaved. No. Just full fucking stop.
Yeah.
Full fucking stop. Doesn't work that way.
Nope.
Doesn't fucking work that way.
So we need to just like, I just was like, take that shit out of every fucking obit that you might have written. Just what is the purpose of this? There's no slave owner and enslaver relationships. What you're talking about when you say that is rape and abuse over a long period of time. And we do not sugarcoat shit like that. Fuck you. That's what I have to say.
And just why did it have to fucking, literally what the fuck does that have to fucking do with fucking motherfucking anything? You know
what it does?
It's just fucking slander him. It's
not
him
just
down.
A slander. There's a subtle, even more insidious part piece to this, because what it does is it's like, oh, he had some white in him, so he's a little bit better. It's so fucking
it's
disgusting.
Fucking gross.
It's so fucking
but, you
disgusting.
Know, and it's that use of language, you know, like the certain tone and this, and when they throw things in there, and you see it all the fucking time.
Ugh.
All the fucking time. And New York Times especially. They're the no angel. They're the fucking no angel.
I know. They do this on purpose. It's a fucking
absolutely
troll.
There was one I saw where there was a guy, a black man, who rescued a fucking like white, like 3-year-old, a baby on the fucking highway. And they have a picture of this man in his like work uniform from like someplace, and it's got his name on it that's like, you know, like Brent or something like that. I don't know what his name was, whatever it was. And they fucking like lead of the thing was like, you know, former convict rescues baby. We're like, whoa. What the fuck does former convict have to fucking do with fucking anything? And his fucking name is in the picture on his goddamn uniform right there. You could use his fucking name, but you got a big former convict. They do that shit all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. All the time. Crazy. Language, framing. And fucking people edit it, and nobody fucking, and you know, like you and I have talked about individual racists, and like, oh, let's get this person fired because they're being racist, and that, you know, like, you know, Paula Deen again, like, oh, fucking, what the fuck? But like, it's this kind of shit. Like, I'm not saying that like Paula Deen shouldn't be corrected or individual racists shouldn't be corrected. Whatever. I don't think that's going to solve anything to some degree, but I agree that like, you know, there should be some sort of machinations for like individual shit like that not to go on. And the new thing from the fucking like, nut jobs on the other side is that approach is like, you know, we're the Marxist Orwellian, like, you know, look how horrible we are. Anyway, I think newspapers in particular, if there's a way to hold them accountable for shit like this, and I don't know if outrage is really the way. I think white people need to, because people that buy that shit, the people that are buying the New York Times need to be outraged. And they're not.
Definitely not. They don't give a shit.
Anyways. Just like Fox News, like people, you know, they go crazier and crazier because people keep watching it.
They do.
They keep, Chris on Insanity, was it him or was it who was calling it entertainment rather than politics?
Oh, D-Palm, yeah.
Yeah, and he was dead on.
Yeah.
The GOP and Fox, it's this perverted like entertainment fucking machine more than politics. And fuck, it's allowed them to be close enough to steal an election and to win and, you know. And Fox, their ratings, I don't know if they're like going up or down, but it certainly doesn't seem to, like, as outraged as people are at Fox, all the fucking people that watch Fox are like, yeah, Megyn Kelly. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not mad about it. So they're going to keep doing that shit. And same with New York Times. Mm-hmm. People that buy the fucking New York Times, they're not calling New York Times like, I'm going to cancel my subscription because you said Julian Bond had a slave mistress in his family back in the day and you called Mike Brown a thug. No one does that.
No.
If they did, it wouldn't. Maybe it wouldn't happen.
But on the real tip, fuck the New York Times.
You know who else you can fuck?
Who?
The entire county of Woodward, Oklahoma.
Oh, what's going on there?
I'll just let it play.
The whole thing?
Maybe not. That's a little hyperbole.
All right, go ahead.
Anything that's going to hamper the oil and gas
industry. Oh, wait a minute. Go back to the beginning.
I'm not a real firm believer in climate change.
This
welcome to Woodward County, home of the nation's highest percentage of climate change skeptics.
I'd say it's something that I don't think I've really thought a lot about. And I don't think it's something that gets talked a lot about here around Woodward.
they don't talk about climate change, but every single day they talk about the weather.
High of 104 to 106 is the forecast high.
We have firestorms, we have ice storms, we have tornadoes, we have blizzards. We don't really reference the climate change word as much out here.
We'll have a heat index of 110 to 115, which is very, very dangerous.
But they address it and how the weather impacts them.
There are plenty of reasons why they're skeptics.
In this country, in this state. And no one wants anything that's going to hamper the oil and gas industry.
I used to be full-time in the oil field.
Well, I'm employed in the oil field.
I have an oil and gas company.
If there's no oil field, there's no jobs.
Our whole economy runs on fossil fuels.
Is there a time that we'll go away from fossil fuel? Yes, it is not a renewable resource.
We as human beings have a tendency to put off what we really need to do if it has the capacity to make us uncomfortable.
I wonder what that sounds like.
Is a cuss word.
I go back to Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth.
We tend to be very conservative.
I've not seen the film, but I've seen bits and pieces.
We tend to not always trust everything that comes out of the media's mouth.
Whenever you hit a crossroads of fact-finding, then you tend to fall in line with the people who you believe in other political arenas.
I don't know who I would trust.
There's got to be people we believe, we trust, that get behind this cause and say, this is an issue. And then I think you will see people get on board in droves.
I just figured that, the good Lord's gonna, he's the only one that knows, you know.
He's like smiling about it. The environment is perfect today because God ultimately controls the environment.
And maybe we shouldn't interfere with it.
God speaks directly to issues out of his scripture.
And when he said in Genesis, be good stewards of this land and take care of it. That has value. Always.
God does talk about us taking care of what he's given us.
Christians should be
just the music.
Original tree huggers. I mean, we think it's a moral issue to take care of the planet.
There's the thing, estimate 70% of people here support renewable energy. We're going to try to have a solar system big enough to supply all the needs of our house.
The old people know, like, what we did in the Dust Bowl. Like, my grandpa talks about how they knew that they caused it because they plowed the earth so much.
There would be periods when the sun would be blotted plumb out.
I think older people can look back and see how things were generations ago.
Yeah, we ought to be on the same path. We're just fighting over rhetoric.
I completely agree that if it is an issue, and there's plenty of evidence that it is, that we have a responsibility to do something.
If we don't do something now, I think it's just going to get worse.
Being a part of this has made me more curious to study more and find out if there's something that I can do personally.
If everybody will go out and be good stewards and realize that God has given us this planet and we should take care of it, then I think we'll be in good shape.
So 2/3 of them are in favor of curbing CO2 emissions.
Right. So that's 70% but they don't
are in favor of renewable energy. But 80-some-odd% of them don't believe in climate change.
So they just believe in the effects of something, but not in the thing itself.
Well, and the one person said, we're just arguing over rhetoric.
To Black Lives Matter is almost eerie.
It is.
Because
it's the same delusion.
Literally the same delusion.
It's the same delusion.
It'll go away when you stop talking about it.
Yeah. Well, and look at what they said. They said there was a couple of, if you think the red, interesting this parallel. You just said it with the Black Lives Matter movement. The one individual said when there's a confluence in their mind of who's right and wrong, we don't believe the media, we're conservative, we tend to believe people that we agree with in other avenues politically.
Right.
So if the politicians start talking about climate change is real and man-made caused it, these individuals within the party and ostensibly this place in Oklahoma will start believing
and
that as well.
And my whole thing about these deniers is that, okay, listen, deny all you want, but the data, you can deny the cause because I feel like that's
kind of what they're doing.
Conversation.
That's about all these
deny
guys
the doing. Cause, fine, deny the cause, but that shouldn't stop you from fighting the effects. And so, like,
well, and they stop fighting the effects because they're working for the oil and gas industry.
Right, but I'm saying about the politicians.
So. Sure. And same thing, they're in the pockets of the oil and gas industry.
True.
There's no reason not to.
That's true.
$1 billion is what ExxonMobil made in like a quarter, like not even like $57 billion.
Well, get it together, Oklahoma. Get on the same page. Get. We all need to get on the same page.
And I on some level, it's like you're right about the parallels because like Ricky would say, he doesn't really care or give a fuck if you're racist as hell, as long as the effects and impacts of racism don't negatively impact him. There's not a disparate outcome for him as a black individual,
right?
And I, you know, whether individuals agree with that, yes or no. you know, on the same level, you could set up with these climate change folks. Like, I don't give a fuck what you say and whether you think it is or isn't, but like, can we at least like see the 98% of studies that say this is an impact and it's going this way and there's things that we can do to like adjust and make it better? Like, can we agree to do those things?
Right.
Whether we call it climate change or not, like, you know, I don't understand why there's a, if 70% of them believe in renewable energy and curbing CO2, I don't know what quite the impediment is. The impediment is the oil and gas industry paying the politicians.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Did you hear Philadelphia fucked up Hitchbot?
I heard a little bit about it, but tell me more. So, I'm intrigued.
So these folks, I guess they're like, you know, I don't know, scientists, sociologists, professors in various places. They made a hitchhiking robot mm-hmm. that like had like, you know, a monitor, some GPS and some, you know, like voice commands and other things, but no mobilization at all. It was just like a bucket and fucking, you know, head and shit. And so you had to like, it was called a hitchhiking bot. You had to like pick it up and take it around, and it had instructions and you could like take a picture and send it on to Instagram and shit. So it traveled the world and it's got like, there's gonna be like, you know, information you can find about it, like all the pictures, it streams, social media, literally all over the country, all over the globe, rather. Canada, the Netherlands, Germany. It was headed to the U.S. and it was going to do 3,000 miles from coast to coast. 3,000 miles. It made 300. Well, it was going to go from one coast to the other.
Oh, it was going
to
go the whole
length. It was going to go the whole. Its plan was to go from the east to the west coast of the United States. And it made it to Philadelphia where it got vandalized. So I'm just a little bit
jump
out of
here. In.
You will have to pick me up.
All right, I'll come get you.
Like, look, it's a little robot.
Oh, my God.
Hitchbot is the brainchild of university professors David Smith and Frauke Zeller.
It's about seeing how a robot gets by in our society and why being totally dependent on human beings.
It's like made out of a trash can.
Dude, I love it. Fucking Philly.
Canada, German, Netherlands, all over the globe. Pictures, people are like, yeah, sweet.
Oh, yeah, they're doing that up in Canada. Canadians are crazy. It'll probably work in Canada. It would never work here because here in the States, we would put it into the ditch or shoot it.
He was right. Survived 300 miles to Philadelphia before it was beheaded and
oh
torn apart.
God. They ruined
they
it.
They destroyed it.
Fucking Philly.
I know. Rest
R.I.P. Hitchbot.
Like, there's all these like pictures of him on Instagram and shit and Facebook.
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry.
People took him to baseball games.
Santa Claus. He's getting his shoes shined.
And he got fucking destroyed in Philly.
He made it through New York.
Philly!
I just want to mention
damn
that.
It, Philly!
Fucking Philly. Oh my God.
Ugh, stupid autoplay ads. I hate you, autoplay ads.
Oh, you and Chris. You guys all have to talk about that next week or this week. That'll be funny. Yeah. So, has anybody else noticed there's been a really big uptick in bears, like, totally fucking tripping, like, just doing the most outlandish ass shit?
Well, you've told me like three things over the last like week alone.
These bears are crazy. Well, obviously, it's probably because we're invading their habitat and stuff.
And it's hot as fuck.
And it's hot as fuck. But the other day we saw a bear, this was in New Jersey. He was like stealing people's garbage and walking on 2 feet like down the street, like la la la. Like he was a freaking person just stopping by. So this week, well, this happened.
New at 11, a bear on the prowl tonight. The neighborhood visitor was caught cooling off in a backyard swimming pool.
This dude's swimming.
Robert Kovacic is in La Cañada, Flint Ridge tonight, where the bear was spotted. Robert?
It's the first day of school here, and children were told to not go outside. Residents
stay inside
for
the bear.
By a sheriff's helicopter flying overhead, issuing the warnings over a loudspeaker. It sounds like a very stressful situation.
Just pause it for a second. Did you just hear that? The sheriff went around with a helicopter and a loudspeaker like
bear in a pool.
Apocalypse Now. Like, there's a fucking bear outside.
A bear in a pool. A bear in a pool.
New Jersey.
Here we go.
Bears, they take them very seriously, but they have experience. So you can understand the momentary panic, if you will, for those who do not.
Is it safe?
Eric Finn about
why they gotta go to the black dude? those who aren't used to these wonderful...
You know, I have heard that bears like dark meat.
Shut the fuck up.
Paradise Elementary School tonight to clean up when he learns he may not be alone.
I got to go in the back, in the woods back there to get my equipment. Do I need to carry something with me or anything? How big is the bear?
A brown bear. That's a good question. How big is it? Brown bears are big.
Yeah, he's big.
This is the big one.
Vista resident Elna Coetzee bathing in her pool.
Just take a fucking
dip,
dude.
He's like full on swimming, dude.
Startled. He was probably there for about 20 minutes.
20 minutes, dude.
Doing laps.
Let me just do a few laps.
How many times he's been here before in the dark and nobody knows?
Probably a ton. Dude, he went in like it was nothing.
And eating some pomegranates.
It's a fucking pomegranate.
My neighbors. Bears are my neighbors, especially growing up so close to the hills.
NBC4 has been in this neighborhood before. Back in May of 2013, Paradise Elementary locked down as a female bear roamed through backyards.
Yo!
Being sedated. And
I remember that one.
Oh, I remember that.
John Love has lived here most of his life and says bear sightings barely register.
You gotta have that live and let live mentality.
Joyzy.
You mean because they could kill you?
Just gotta
the
live.
Fuck, look at that bear, dude. He's just swimming
that
in the
bear
pool.
In Southern was California, hot.
Did she call 911?
Temperatures rise. Wildlife tends to come down from the mountains searching for, you know, Colleen, I'll say it, the bare necessities, food and water.
Ba-dum-tsh.
So it is fair to say, I believe, that in the coming days, we will see bear season heating up. Live this evening here in La Cañada, Flint.
Yeah, it was hot. We were up there. It was like 90-something degrees.
Yeah. So.
Wasn't there? You showed me something else. You showed me another one.
I showed
one.
You that bear that was walking on 2 feet. He stole.
No, you put me the bear when he went through the cat door. And it was just the head.
Oh, right. And then that's the other thing. They've been like going in through people's pet doors. And one dude, they broke into his house. The bear broke into his house while he was gone and like ate everything, shit everywhere, and ate all his food out of his fridge and then rolled out. While he was away for
deuces.
A weekend.
I'm out.
So, yeah. Bears be tripping.
Yeah, bears are be fucking tripping, dude.
They do. They really, really do.
Really fucking crazy, dude.
So, I saw this cool BuzzFeed article called 17 Struggles All Suburban Black Kids Know Too Well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So.
I wouldn't know any of them.
No? No, no?
17 Struggles? Black suburban kids? I was a suburban kid. But...
Yeah, because you'd be on the other end of this. Get it?
Okay, I would. You're right. I would probably know. I do.
Okay, so one.
I bet you I know all of these.
Meeting that one friend's parent that you didn't know was racist.
I'm sure. No, I knew. I had friends that were openly racist. His parents, yeah. Absolutely.
Being the prime suspect of whatever was stolen at a house party.
Oh yeah, for sure, dude. In fact, that happened. I know that that happened to a. Her name was Anita. I don't remember her last name, but she worked at the grocery store, and yeah, that happened. Totally. Shit, I know all of these too well. Fuck.
Your parents encouraging you to make friends with the only other black kids in the neighborhood, even though you have your own friends. Now go make some black friends. Number four, not understanding all black culture references because you didn't have as many black friends to experience them with. Tommy, you ain't got no job, man. It's for Martin, in case you didn't know. Suburban black kids. Number five, people coming back from spring break and comparing their tan to your skin. Oh, my God. I'm as dark as you are now.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my God, dude. People would come back from spring break and they'd have, like, the whitest shirt they could find with the most, like, neon colors. Back in the days, like, people would fucking, like, put sun in their hair and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God. And yeah. I guarantee you somebody said I'm
Oh, I've had that said to me
I'm
plenty of times. I've had that said to me so God. Many times.
Really? I'm darker
like
than you
Like, a
now.
Ridiculous amount of times.
Look, I'm darker than you now.
Yeah, so many times. You didn't hear me. I said it. Oh, my God, I'm dark as you now. That's what it comes out as. Number six. Searching far and wide for a salon that can do your hair. Very true. And people freely touching and grabbing your hair. Mm-hmm. Being called an Oreo because you're not really black.
So I went to school with a very large Asian population. I think like Japanese and Chinese and just various Asian population. And I would hear that amongst themselves that... I want to say accusation, but instead of Oreo, it was either an egg or a Twinkie or something that's white on one side and yellow on the other. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. But. Everyone looking to you to explain and demonstrate new dance crazes. Do the nay-nay.
Mm. Do the stank.
People dialing their slang up a couple of notches when talking to you. What's up, home skillet?
You know what? I've I would love to say I probably was never guilty of that, but I bet you I did when I was like between 16 and 19 at the store I worked at. I guarantee you I attempted to, like, you know, stupid ass code switch, like what I thought was whatever language.
Swimming in a neighbor's pool and having everyone marvel at how your hair reacts. Your hair is impervious to water. Wow.
That's what you heard? Impervious to water?
Yeah. Number 13, people assuming that you have a huge crush on the only other black person in school. Gee, you like that new kid, don't ya?
And I'm sure I'm guilty of, like, the one black person, like, oh my God, you should totally meet the other black person.
Yeah, exactly. Like, number 14, that moment when you learned about slavery in class and you can feel everyone staring at you.
Damn, that must fucking just... And now, were you in classes where you were one of the few black people ever?
Of course. Come on.
Yeah, I was thinking though, in Brooklyn, even, like, because you were in Brooklyn.
Number 15, being way more cautious than your friends about typical suburban mischief.
Oh yeah, shit. To this day, you're in the. Yeah. We'll be doing something like, "Yo, Drew, the black woman's with you."
Take it down. Number 16, people saying you sound white because you speak proper English. Well, I didn't expect this from our phone convo.
Proper English, and I'm
And number 17, feeling constant pressure to represent your entire race rather than just yourself. Do all black people hate when you touch their hair? Are all black people afraid of police? Yeah, this is actually a good primer for my interview, so that's good.
Yeah,
me talking to some women from some black alumni from the Emma Willard School.
A very white space.
Yes, an extremely white space to discuss our experiences there. But as women of color.
I didn't know, but like Emma's, if I'm not mistaken, like one of the top like two or three girls academies, period. And what number is it?
Number four.
Yeah. But independent of that, it's also like one of the top 50 educational institutions for that grade level in the country.
Boarding schools, yes.
Yes, male or female. Yes. Yeah.
Actually, it's in the top 30, but yes, it is.
Okay. Humblebrag. I'm not saying. I should say it's evident by the women the institution matriculates that it's beyond what I would the grading scale that I thought I kind of knew about education and what, you know, some people had this kind of education, some people had, you know, and I went to an excellent public high school, like same kind of, like for a public, like same kind of deal, like top like 12 or 15 public high schools in the country. And I was like, wow, it was a tremendously excellent education, but yours was on like another level. It was different than an education. It was like, and I don't know, maybe boarding schools like that. I don't know. But the young women and the women that I've met that it's matriculated, unbelievable. I want to like quote all these people. Every time I see something on Facebook, I'm like, holy fuck, that was, who's so-and-so? You're like, Emma chick.
She's from Emma too.
Emma 94.
Emma.
Yeah, she's a year ahead of me. She's the so-and-so related to Emma, an Emma chick. Y'all are boss.
We are pretty boss. Speaking of bosses.
You know, a little segue. Did you play a reggae version of that?
I did. It's funny that you mentioned that because I got to go see if I can find it now.
Yeah, oh that God. was dope. I'll play this right now. It's a Flotus edition.
What advice would you give yourself now, your college self?
Don't be afraid and to ask for help.
If you had the opportunity to have a different occupation, what would it be?
I would be Beyonce. Got the hands up.
What is the best way to get money to go?
She'd be Beyonce, yo, dude. Flotus.
You ready?
For real though, she said she'd be Beyonce. Oh, I love snap. It. Well, and without hesitation. And she even put...
My thing know. About that, though, was like, that's an option? Beyonce?
What would you be if you heard from Beyonce?
I think they were expecting you'd be like, you know, a lawyer teacher or... Well, she was a lawyer. A teacher or, you know, I don't know, whatever. Beyonce.
It's a love relationship.
Yeah. She's Flotus. I mean, Can't go down from there. You got to go stay at the same level.
That's true.
Wherever I was going to be, I was going to be this great, bitches. That's what she said.
That's right. She was going to be at this level regardless of.
She said, I was going to be a singer. She was going to be Beyonce.
I think really what that statement says is Beyonce could be the is the first lady.
Yes. That's really, they're like interchangeable in their different
worlds.
Yeah. I can see that.
Right. Bloatus.
Let's see. I think this might be the reggae version.
Yo, Pandalay.
That bass, yo. That bass is insane.
It's got like a modulator.
Yo.
That was ill. That was awesome.
That's by The Chosen Few. And shout out to, of course, our associate producer, Carl, for bringing this to our attention.
That was an O'Johner?
Yes, he tagged me in an Instagram gif of it. And I was like, what is this? Yeah, he tagged me over the weekend. I was like, what the hell is this? A reggae version of Am I Black Enough? We made the switch. They somehow made that song blacker.
Well, it's reggae.
Oh my god, it was
that bass line with the modulation was dope. That was awesome.
That was pretty fucking sweet.
He only played like a half a second of it for me from the GIF. The whole
song. Yeah, because that's all it was in the GIF. Yeah, so I was like, oh, yeah, check it out, whatever.
Nice.
Speaking of music stuff. See if this plays or not.
A lot of dead air.
Bring me, boy. Yeah.
I'm going to stop it right there because that's actually what my story is about. 1738, which you hear there at the beginning of Fetty Wap's hit song, Trap Queen. The Royals, the Kansas City Royals, are reportedly now fining each other if they don't include
That's right.
the number 1738 in their post-game interviews. And they've been baffling at least one local beat reporter, one Andy McCullough, who says Kansas City players, is a tweet, are fining each other if they don't use 1738 in post-game interviews. I have no idea what it means. Success has driven them mad. So he, this is an exchange he's talking about. Kane on Bauer. This is quotes from them in their post-game interview. He was like a 1738 to the plate, Holmes said, on his RBIs against Cleveland. I'll take 17. I'll take 38. Mutaska on Hosmer's pick. Haas picks that thing 17 out of 38 times.
The trouble.
McCullough said, he said to them, I'm not putting that in the newspaper. Why not? It doesn't make sense. It makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. 17 out of 38 times.
So somebody quickly informed Andy McCullough, the writer, that what was going on. And he said, oh, it has to do with Trap Queen? Then I'm fully on board.
Trap Queen. Betty Webb, dude. Come on.
Yeah. So coming to a television near you, he leaves off Lorenzo Cain saying, you can name 17, 38 great plays we've made. So apparently he's participating.
It's and even funny. Though it is... Trap Queen, it's Remy
it's
Martin.
It's Remy Martin, yeah. Remy Martin. That's it. He starts off the song with that. He's the 1738 boys, like Remy boys. That's their, like, name of their
I bet you they're playing that shit in the clubhouse and shit, dude.
1738. Of course they are.
Love it, dude. In fact, I'm not into baseball at all, but I know that they're winning, like, a lot, and they had, like, more of their players were on the All-Star team than, like...
Oh, Kansas City?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're apparently doing quite well, mm-hmm. and it's a young team.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, what's next?
Google... I missed the audio. Google admits it fucked, and it only wanted Google Plus to get your shit. So it's kind of like stopping pushing it. So you remember a while back that
Google... Oh, yeah, you had to have a Google account.
Had to have a Google Plus account to make YouTube comments.
You had to have Google Plus account, Google not Plus. Google account. A Google Plus
account. A Google account. Plus. What did I say? I said Google Plus, right?
You said just Google.
A
you
Google can have, Plus. Yeah. You're right. But you had to have Google Plus, their fucking doomed, stupid-ass
version of Facebook
mm-hmm. from the get. And I even said, and they even said, like, there's a bunch of weird, like, cryptic stuff, like, oh, you know, Google Plus is doing great in all the metrics that matter to us. Like, you know, they said some weird shit. And there was even a blog at one point where they admitted that it was basically just to tie into an individual and a name and a person so that they could track you across all their different domains and what right. you do and various advertisers.
Right.
So it's just like giant, like, vacuum suck.
Right.
But
I want to just, people don't know, like, that not just a Google account. Like a Gmail or something, but an actual Google Plus account. Yeah.
We had to have Google Plus to log into everything.
YouTube, Google...
to have a Google Drive. Google
Photos. Everything. It was really stupid.
They forced you, and the only reason they forced you to do it, all they wanted you to do was log in one fucking time with your real name. That's it. Yeah. That's it. IP, zip code, location, you know, and if you were even, you know, like me, if you did nothing but like put up a picture, even worse. Because now it's got a picture, and it's like, boom. You know, there you are forever and ever. And it could track you across
Yeah, and they're doing all sorts of weird stuff with it. They've got this new collections feature that's going to be like a male-dominated mini Pinterest where people – you can like put posts and stuff by topic.
Someone said that's actually pretty decent, but
– I'm sure it is decent, but it still needs people there to make it worthwhile.
Yeah. Well, so they're finally cranking down, and they're no longer going to push it aggressively, and they're going to uncouple it, and you'll be able to have Google Drive and other Google features without having an actual Google Plus account. And they're promising that they're going to make it easy for you to delete if you didn't want, which no one did, a Google Plus account. They'll make it easy to delete. I don't know. I just, you know, I like everybody, you know, you had to do it. So I did it, and it gave them all what they wanted. You know, they sucked up a enormous amount, and they spent, when I say it was like, it's, purpose was the data. They spent $500 million. Zuckerberg personally tied every single employee's bonus and compensation into the success of Google Plus. It wasn't just like, oh, we need this thing to kind of work. It was like, and it did work. It got everything it needed. But they're now that they've got it, they're, I guess, cranking it down.
Mm-hmm.
Google Plus.
So
it's defeat.
This was actually a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't do the show last week, and I still wanted to bring it out because it was really funny. But there was a thing, a hashtag that was trending on Twitter right before we left called If Hogwarts Was an HBCU.
Okay.
So it was a magical mix of all things Harry Potter and Black culture and Black Twitter. You know, there are a lot of us Black nerds out there took to it like nothing, like anything, of course. So if Hogwarts were an HBCU, Harry Potter would be Dwayne Wade.
Can you hear his ass? I love it, dude. They even have the glasses.
Yes. The Smollett's would be the Weasleys, most definitely. Yes, for sure. Headmaster Freeman. So Morgan Freeman would be Dumbledore.
That's a beard, totally.
Felicia Rashad as the sorceress teacher. I don't remember her name right now. Obviously, Snape would be Samuel L. Jackson. No doy.
It's a good Snape.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Wesley Snipes.
A little too young, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Aretha Franklin would have been the fat lady. Stairwells would have been popping. Raven Simone would be High Inquisitor and Head of Improper Use of Blackness.
Shut up, dude.
Listen to High Inquisitor and Head of Improper Use of Blackness.
High Inquisitor, Improper Use of Blackness. Raven Simone. And what's that character's name from Hogwarts? I can't remember her, but she came from the...
Yeah. Dolores, hilarious. Whatever her name was.
Hilarious.
Wendy Williams would be head gossip writer at the Daily Prophet. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Prisoner of Azkaban would be Asada Shakur.
Yep. The Order of the Phoenix would all be ex-Panthers turned teachers, and Death Eaters would be Black Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Ben Carson's a Death Eater. He's the leader of the Death Eaters. Mm-hmm. He shall be named Carson.
He should not be named Carson. The Sorting Hat would be a church crown. Hello. Hello. Some new classes and professors. So in this, we have Pharrell, Angela Bassett, Sade, and Iman, and they would be teaching Intro to Black Don't Crack.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We have Beyonce, Jessica Williams, Danai from The Walking Dead, and I think that's Viola Davis. It's hard to see in the picture. Yeah, it's Viola Davis. The professors of Intro to Black Girl Magic. The defense of the dark against the dark arts classes would actually be African American studies classes.
Dang it.
Herbology instructor, Professor Badu. Thank you very much.
Herbology.
Founder of Hufflepuff. Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg. Hufflepuff. Future would teach potions, of course. This would be every Quidditch match, so it's just amazing. Cali swag that this whole HBCU gym did. The players and everything, it's so great. So that would be every Quidditch game. It would be a little less chill. Slytherin, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Gryffindor would be the Greek lines. Okay. Pledges would walk around in invisibility cloaks. A dash of woke. The school motto would be Morum Ex Perfectus. That's Latin for stay woke, by the way. Yes. Staying Woke 101 with Professor Jesse Williams. They'd have a defense against the white arts class. Mm-hmm. There's a troll in the dungeon. They have a, what's her name from Love and Hip Hop. There would be a spell for instant twist outs for those days when your twist outs come out a mess. Oh, Wingardium Leviosa. I love that one. Oh, God, that's funny. Somebody would be handing you their mixtape with their sword. Like, yo, man, check out my mixtape. I mean, with their wands. Instead of saying Lumos to get our wands laid up, we'd say, it's lit. Harry Potter would have a teardrop tat instead of a lightning bolt star. Catching the snitch would get you permanent 24-hour visitation. Whenever we had those feasts, it would be all soul food. Who let the mud blood in here? Chill, fam. He's on the Quidditch scholarship. And finally, refund checks. Severus Snape would be responsible for releasing refund checks. And so everyone's just saying, how long? Just Black Twitter being funny. I thought
that
really
is
cute.
Fucking hilarious.
Wingardium Leviosa. I'm going to start using that shit. Toot sweet. So
Snoop is the founder of Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff.
That's too much.
It's lit. It's lit. Okay, so Humans ended last night. We totally, I thought it was a really good first season of the show. I was really interested.
It kept me really into it.
Invested,
yeah,
and
yeah.
And I thought it was a little like, the climax seemed to be last weekend, or last week's episode.
I kind of agree.
This week was a little bit lower, but it was more of a setup, I felt like. And I like so that. Too. I think it's, you know, because usually, sometimes with these British shows, they do like two episodes. It's like, that's it, bitches, we out. And they don't continue. So it's good. This is going to have another season, and it'll be kind of cool to see that.
I think that the actor and actresses in it are great.
So
I think
good. Especially the synths, I think they're amazing.
I tweeted last night. They keep it real by having the white dude be the total fuck up.
Oh, yeah. He's a total douche.
Total fuck up. From
fucking
like,
everything up.
Like second episode on. Like white and both white dudes. The one cop partner white dude and the father of the family white dude. Both total fuck ups.
Yes, absolutely.
I would say the two biggest fuck ups on the entire show are two white dude humans. Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Just fucking everything.
Fucking it up.
So we are going to start recapping Fear of the Walking Dead, which is the new Walking Dead spinoff show. Starts this coming Sunday.
So it's for real. You're calling it now.
Yes, I'm not just calling it now, but one blackity black Rob will be joining us every week to recap
Black Rob
Fear of the Walking Dead. Yes.
So, I think I might be liking this. Yeah, I can get down with Black Rob.
It's going to be good. He just confirmed right now, live while we're recording. He just confirmed.
He's in LA, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
What time are we going to do that at?
We're going to do it. I don't know if we'll do it Monday night or Tuesday night, okay. But we'll do it one of those two nights and we'll have it come out before the regular show comes out that week. So for that, at least for this season of this show, you'll get two shows every week. You'll get the recap of that show, and we'll do probably just, you know, hello and all that, and then our regular show, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, dig it. And I guess I didn't know people were watching Humans, but I talked to a few people.
Oh yeah, tons of everybody's Twitter watching it.
I thought it was worth it.
It's been doing very well. Also, next week we're going to have this week we're going to have Chris Fett on. We're going to do two shows this week, so we're not
Insanity
down.
Trailer.
So Chris Fett from Insanity Trek and Movie Trailer Reviews is going to be with us. So we're going to talk to him certainly about all the stuff he's got going on. He just got getting back from Disney
D23, D27, whatever, 13 or D.
Well, we'll ask him what it is, but the Disney version of Comic-Con, which happened this last week. He had press passes for some of the sessions, and he's like camped out all night to go to the Star Wars Marvel one. So I'll be interested to hear about all of that from him. And
so, you know, and we didn't even podcast about it, but we were talking about Star Wars and George Lucas, and I looked it up, and it he's worth $7 billion at one point when they sold the franchise to
Disney.
Mm-hmm. And they said that the big decision for him was he made his first big hit was American Graffiti. I'd forgotten that he directed that. And, I it's iconic and everyone loves it, but whatever. It made like $200 million and it barely cost $1 million to make. And he got paid very little because he's a new director. So his next movie, he's trying to get a big, big pay raise. And his agent gets him into Fox and they pitch the, you know, what ultimately becomes Star Wars. But at that time, he was calling it a cowboy movie in space. And the guy at Fox was like, I don't know. I'm not really sure. It's kind of weird. No one really is into it. But I'll give you, you know, $6 million and I'll pay you, you know, like triple your normal, your last gig. I'll give you a huge, huge pay raise. And Lucas, this is right here. This was the moment, his decision, went back and said, you can cut my pay back to what I got paid for American Graffiti. You know, take it down 300%, pay me the regular bit. But instead, give me the rights to all the sequels and give me the exclusive rights to the merchandise. And like, okay, for a movie you haven't even made yet, whatever, right?
Right.
And merchandising alone. Oh my God, Star Wars toys. Jeez Louise, he licensed the fuck out of that thing. He didn't make any of it. He just licensed it. There's so, everything had Star Wars on it. Everything had Star Wars on it. In like the 70s and 80s, come on, forget about it. How many sequels did he make? Create. And he probably, at the point he made the sequels, he's like, well, I'll just make my own studio. I'll do the whole thing. I'll bankroll the whole thing. I don't need you. I can get $7 million. No problem. Done. Brilliant.
Exactly.
He was worth billions before he sold it for $4
billion. Mm-hmm. He sure was. So,
I'm betting yourself, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, anyways, we'll get to hear more about that from Chris when he comes on the show, which will be this week. So you'll get two episodes this week.
Yeah, I'm gonna bug him about the They Live.
Oh, yeah. You guys will
probably. Well, because Roddy just died, right? So it's appropriate.
Yeah, it's a good time to do it.
I think that's why.
Yeah, they're pushing for it. So one other thing I did want to mention is that I am on the executive team for the upcoming Women's Freedom Conference on October 25th, 2015. The Women's Freedom Conference will center and amplify the unique voices and experiences of underrepresented women who have been disenfranchised beyond gender alone, women of color, whose identities are intersectional. So our goals include providing practical, real-world information from a diverse group of women, many of whom are actively working to improve the lives of women of color around the world, and making this information available to as many people as possible. Participants will engage in conversations and actions focused on the liberation of women of color, as this conference is created to promote solidarity, sisterhood, and empowerment. And so we have just opened our call for submissions, and that's through August 31st. You have a little bit of time to do it. And so the ideal WFC 2015 speaker identifies as a woman, cis or transgender of color, meaning she is a member of a racially and or ethnically marginalized group. So Aboriginal, Pacific Islander, Afro-Latina, Navajo, etc. Believes that women of color should be centered and heard. She is committed and passionate about the liberation of women around the world and recognizes that women of color are further marginalized because of racial and ethnic identities. She has access to a recording device and is able to provide some information to us. That way, she's comfortable sharing her work with people around the world. So basically what we're looking for people right now to submit for is to imagine they're giving a 5-minute presentation about an issue that they feel passionate about, an issue that affects women of color. And it's kind of in a TEDx style talk or Ignite talks. It could be a short film, poetry reading, really anything that's up to you. And so you can go to womensfreedomconference.com for more information. Again, that call for submissions is open through August 31st. I'm really excited about it.
And again, it's just like fantastic. It's a 5-minute TED Talk style video.
Yes, that won't be the only thing included in the whole conference, but that's what the call for submissions is for.
Great.
And so, looking to...
Tell us who you're working with. You're working with Feminine to Jones?
Yeah, I'm working with all sorts of amazing, amazing women. I'm working directly with Dance Hall B. I think that's her Twitter name. Hold on. Pull her up so I'll make sure I say her handle. B at B since 83. She's Dance Hall Queen B right now on Twitter. But at BEE since 83. And we are heading up the... promotions and marketing for the conference, especially in social media. She is from Canada, actually, and so she'll be handling international while I'll be handling stuff here in the United States. And it's going to be the advisory board is amazing. It includes people like Jamie from Black Girl Nerds. It includes Jamila Lemieux. It includes Francesca. I think Francesca Lee is on there. Just amazing, amazing women.
Terrific.
So I'm really excited about that. There will be a live component to it on October 25th in New York City, but the majority of it, actually all of it, will be available via live stream and online. So we're really, as I said earlier, trying to make it accessible to as many people as possible. So womensfreedomconference.com, and you can follow the hashtag WFC 2015.
And I'm so thrilled that you get to do that stuff. I love it. It's great.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. What else? What do you got?
That's all.
That's it?
This is my busy season, yeah. Right? It's time where I put in a lot more hours at work. That's okay. Yeah. It happens every year.
And we're moving. So
and we're moving. That's a... not a good... Like, everything, like... We said we planned on all these different contingencies. We didn't plan on selling our house, lickety split, in New Jersey. And we didn't plan on having struggles, not struggles, but, you know, getting like outbid and stuff like crazy here in Grand Rapids.
Crazy in Grand Rapids. Yeah. What the hell?
But
do you want us or not? Do you want us or not?
Do you love us?
Do you love us?
I'll be glad to get actually settled in and, you know, settled in.
Yes, settled into the new house. It'll be much better and much more conducive and all of that. But I think that's it. Once again, you can find us at interracialjohn.com. That's JAWN, or search Interracial John on iTunes or Stitcher. You can find me on Twitter at Leslie Mack, M-A-C. You can find that guy at Very White Guy, almost always on Twitter.
Frequently on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
High five.